Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Truth Be Told Radio. Join us once again for the radio show that gives you teaching and preaching from a biblical perspective.
Welcome to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm Guy Reynolds, the host that is generally called General Wretch, as I am the wretch the song refers to. Hope everyone's doing well. Hope everyone has had a good week. And hope everyone is going to plan on having a great Christmas when it comes up. Talk about a variety of things tonight. Melissa's not on here yet, but I'm glad you all, whoever might be listening, whether it's by podcast or listening live, maybe my Facebook friends or any of our Facebook friends listening live, welcome. And we want to talk about a few things tonight, and namely, right now, why talk very quickly, and we'll touch on it again later. But the amount of actors, you know, that have died, famous people for that matter, celebrities, whatever you want to say. You know, there's just cliches and rumors. Well, they always die in threes, and yeah, that's true. Actress Brittany Murphy has died in an early age at 32, and the Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver Chris Henry has died. Now, I don't know his age right off the bat. I thought it was very early at 26, I believe, but at the same time, though, is it early? You know, a lot of people, by human standards, I was talking to someone at my job a couple of days ago, and they said, well, you know, I can't believe it. This person has died, or this person has died. I mean, even going back to Michael Jackson's death, and they say, well, it's so early. Well, early by whose standards? If it's by human standard, we're not used to seeing people die that early, then that's understandable. But all in all, who's in control here? If it's God's standard, then it wasn't early. By God's standard, it was on time. Brittany Murphy was scheduled to die today by God's standard. By our standard, Michael Jackson, on the day he died, was scheduled to die. He had an appointment with death. The Bible says it's appointed for man once to die, then the judgment. Appointed. Obviously, everyone knows what that means. You have an appointment with death, no matter what age it's going to be. Could be today. Could be tomorrow. Could be a month from now, or a year from now, or many years from now, however God. But the thing about it is, everyone thinks, and I think I'll do that. During Christmas Day, I'm going to go and with a friend of mine and pass out tracts. And during Christmas Day, we're going to be talking to people, and I'm going to have my recorder out. I think I'll ask them that. How many years do you think you'll live? And so many people I've talked to just in the past probably 6 months, they gave me the indication that they believe they're going to live for a long time. Well, I've got plenty of time. Do you really? How could someone actually say that with a clear conscience and a clear mind? Can someone say, I have 20 years to live? I have 10 years to live. Well, I'll worry about that in 15 years. How do you know? The correct and obvious answer is you don't. No one knows. I could die today. I could drop and have a heart attack like Brittany Murphy. We just pray and hope that Brittany Murphy had repented and put her trust in Jesus Christ in time. That's all we can hope for, that God is sovereign, that he saves whom he will save. Hey, we got Melissa on. Let's bring her on. Melissa, are you there?
Yeah. I was so sidetracked about Brittany Murphy. I was, doing some texts and stuff. That I forgot the show was starting. So, sorry. I mean, it's a sad thing that she died, but it was just, yeah. I got really sidetracked. But yeah, I found some things about her. One of the weirdest thing is one of the movies she made was called The Dead Girl. That's weird. Murphy. I thought it actually was. I mean, not that it's any sadder or whatever, but like I thought it was Britney Spears at first because I was looking at it. It spelled Britney at first, and I was like Britney Spears, and then it said Britney Murphy. It says Brittany Murphy, born November 10th, 1977, was an American actress and recording artist. She starred in films such as Just Married, Clueless, Girl Interrupted, 8 Mile, Sin City, oh, that's a funny one too, to be named that, The Dead Girl, Uptown Girls, I actually saw Uptown Girls, I like that one, Riding in Cars with Boys, and another one called Spun. And then it says Brittany died early this morning after she went into full cardiac arrest and could not be revived. And I was just so surprised. It was a heart attack, too, because she's like 3 years older than me, or was. She was, I'm 29. And I was like, that's sad, man. Well, that's one of the reasons I take the low dose aspirin my doctor told me to say. Oh, man, just 32.
Are you okay?
Yes, it's so, like, shocking to me. I'm like, man, I'm just 3 years older than me.
Let me ask you a question then, Melissa. Tell me why it's shocking to you.
Because, like, it's like you said, everybody thinks, like, oh, like, we have a long time, but until something like this happens, like, when the person's, like, so close to your age, you're like, man, it can be, like, just so soon. It shocked me as soon as I saw it. It was on CNN, like a breaking news thing. It was, I got a text in my mail, and I was like, oy. That's just so shocking. And, well, there is some other people that died, too. They said someone from Sesame Street died. I guess she was a lady that was on there. I don't know what she did, actually, but they said her name's Elena.
Yeah, I'd like to find out who she played. You know, what character she played on there.
Well, I can look real quick, but I just can't remember right now. Yeah, I guess I'll look that up too.
Yeah, that's no problem. It's surprising.
Yeah, breast cancer.
You know, though, at the same time, as surprising as it would be to a lot of people that this has happened, that just shows once again it proves the Bible correct. Proves the Bible right. Each death that comes out of nowhere proves the Bible right. I mean, we think, well, you know, we're gonna be here for a long time, or I'll do this tomorrow. And we procrastinate and we do this and don't know.
It says her name was Elena Reed, and I guess the character she played was called Tammany. Shown here, castmate Willie. Played Olivia on Sesame Street.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wasn't she one of the main ones, too, or something? A longtime character on Sesame Street passed away this month at the age of 63 after a battle with breast cancer. Reed, who appeared from 1976 to 1988 on Sesame Street, was a part of the fictional Robinson family and played Gordon's younger sister, Olivia. According to her cast page on SesameStreet.org, so Gordon's little sister Olivia first came to Sesame Street in 1976. I guess she was younger or a child or something. Her relationship with Gordon was a positive example of the way siblings can interact as adults. She worked as a photographer on Sesame Street until she left in 1988. That's what it says. Then she was in some sitcom called 227 also.
Yeah, 227. Wow.
Yeah, 227. Herman's Head, Blossom. Where on Earth is Carmen Sandiego? I saw that one. That was a show, like a game show for geography.
Really?
When
was she the, I wonder if she was the chief or...
Yeah. No, she wasn't the chief. The chief lady already died. She died a long time ago. It wasn't that one. I remember that lady. She was on movies. She died already. I don't remember when she, exactly, but she already died. says Sonic the Hedgehog, like it's a cartoon. WB sitcom called Cleghorn. The Cherokee Kid television film. Oh, yeah, Ally McBeal, I heard of that. And ER. And Any Day Now, it says. That's just something that says.
Wow.
Yeah, she had breast cancer.
Trying to find her, trying to find any pictures. Okay.
Pretty
I see, I think I have some pictures of her, yeah. Yeah, she was the short-haired African-American woman.
Yeah.
That was on there. Yeah, I remember her now. You know, I don't know what it is. People can look at that and they can say, okay, 63, she was there a long time. And they believe, well, she lived a full life. Well, I mean.
Even that's short.
Yeah. I mean, it was. And then you look at Michael Jackson, he was 50.
Compared to eternity.
It is. You could, I mean, those who are in hell right now are barely skimming the surface if they've been dead 20 years. It will seem like nothing, like a minute, you know, compared to eternity. It goes on forever and ever. Once again, our prayers go out to Elena Reed family and pray that I had heard
from the Bengals.
Yeah, Chris Henry, he was 26 years old.
Yeah.
He suffered a head injury. He had a domestic dispute with his girlfriend, and he suffered a head injury and fell off of a truck that his fiance was driving. And fell out the back of a truck and had a head injury and died, I believe, 2 days later. So,
I remember with this lady, that one named Aaliyah, she was a singer. I remember when she died, too. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and that just, I mean, and we're just getting the celebrities that have. I mean, there's, what, three people who have died in the past 4 or 5 days. Add 149,997 to that in the past 24 hours. That's, I mean, over 150,000 people die every 24 hours. And we're just hearing about the celebrities.
Yeah.
All these people are human beings. I mean, they're obviously have made their mark on either movies or entertainment or kids' lives, like the Muppets.
That's what someone else was saying. They're saying, like, whether young or old or they're good-looking or not, or famous or not, there's a lot of people dying.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the fact that, you know, I'd heard, of course, and I don't know how much truth is this, but the Sesame Street cast, it's a Christian organization. And that most of the cast that was on Sesame Street were indeed, in fact, Christians. I don't know how much truth to that is, but I pray that it is true, and it was true for Elena. I pray that because the cast was really, for instance, for Sesame Street, they were really close knit actors that were, you know, to interact with puppets and you know, affect kids' lives. So
He plays like the big bird in the suit and stuff like that. He's the older that I was thinking he could die soon too. I mean, but like we said, anybody could die at any time. But like, I'm just saying, like, what is it gonna be like for kids? What are they gonna do? They're just gonna play reruns or something? I was like, you gotta explain that to kids. Like, okay, all of a sudden, Big Bird's gone.
Yeah.
Gotta explain death to them. Remember when Mr. Rogers died?
Yeah, remember that, yeah. You know, a lot of younger kids who never watched him didn't really know, but those who grew up with Mr. Rogers, you know, this shows, obviously, our mortality. When we see that and we see, you know, our own mortality and knowing that people like that die, and whether, like you said a minute ago, whether famous, it doesn't matter. We all have that same statistic, And really, people, for instance, at my work, and they talk about Chris Henry being sports fans and talk about the Bengals wide receiver and now Brittany Murphy. And the fact that, you know, that brings up good conversations with people. A lot of people will say, well, you're just using that as it. Well, yeah, any springboard to the gospel is a good thing. You can use
it. Said stuff about it, I was like, there's probably going to be people just be like, oh, you just use it because it's famous and stuff and want to work on that. And I was like, yeah, I do.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is. It's a good way because people have death on their minds.
Yeah.
They automatically have death on their minds, so.
It's fresh in their psyche, whatever you call it, what they're thinking.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, at the same time, you know, we can use that to the advantage of the gospel because if God's in control of everything, God ordained that. And it's you know, you kind of look at it and you're like, okay, why did God do this? Well, he had his own reasons. You know, everything goes back to his glory, his honor. So we need to trust that as Christians. Now, obviously, a non-Christian is going to go against it. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, are you ready? The proper message on those crosses that Tony Maiano and some buddies of mine at Huntington, they've made crosses and they stand on busy street corners and stand there and, you know, maybe someone will come up and ask them, ready for what? Well, you know, you can use these deaths as a reason to talk in the gospel. You don't know how long you have. So are you ready? Are you ready to face God on Judgment Day? It could come at any moment, at any time. You could have cardiac arrest. I think of Nicole. I can't remember her name. Let's see. It was the blonde. She died of a heart attack at a hotel. I can't remember her name.
When was this?
I don't. It might not be Nicole. It was maybe a year or two ago or more.
Oh, you're talking about the no, who she is. The one that always acted like she was Marilyn Monroe and stuff.
I can't remember her.
That was, I know her name, I just can't remember right now.
I think of that because the people were just flabbergasted that she was walking in a hotel and just had a cardiac arrest. Well, you know, and
well,
I told my
she
mother.
She was on drugs.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, that, you know, I mean, who knows the deal with Brittany Murphy? No one knows that either. But
you might have been on drugs too, because this is the way heart.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of heart-related things that could happen. But obviously, we know as Christians, on you know, the end result is why we die. Yeah, I mean, I asked my kids that the other night, and was going through the gospel with them, and where is that in Scripture? And I asked him, I said, you know, I asked my daughter, I said, what if someone come up to you at school and said, you know, why do we die? Why am I going to die? And can you answer it? And sadly enough, she had kind of stumbled. She knew the gospel, but she knew how to bring somebody through the law, my 11-year-old, but she couldn't articulate it in that way biblically. So we helped. We sit there and study. I said, it's okay if you don't know. So we learned and we studied a little bit. And, you know, now she knows. Someone comes up to you and says, why am I going to die? I mean, young kids have those questions, and the questions start now. If you look at Answers in Genesis, AIG.org, you can see those questions come now. They're coming when kids are 9, 10, and 11, and they don't get answered. They're going to keep having more questions, and they're going to be unanswered, and they're going to develop their own twisted worldview. So
well,
we need to
say you have a fish or something, your pet dies, like, they shouldn't even know, like, the correct theology of that. Like, a lot of people try to say, oh, they go to heaven or something, or there's something like this, and
yeah.
They should know why things die, even.
That's true, and you can use that. You could use
yeah.
a pet to the extent of, you know, animals not having souls, you can use that. I was reading Ray Comfort's blog, and I'll discuss that in a minute when I'm getting ready to say what I'm about to say. it kind of leads into that well, is, you know, back to that when my daughter was trying to explain why we die, and you go back to, you know, through one man sin entered the world. And why do we die? Because we sin. What is sin? 1 John 3:4, sin is lawlessness or breaking God's law. So to put it down, as my friend says, in baby language, in child language, we sin because we've broken God's law. We die because we've broken God's law. That's why we die. And what's the remedy to that? I mean, what's the remedy to that? We've broken God's law. We're criminals in God's sight. If we lied one time, we're a liar. If we've stolen one time, we're a thief. If no matter what age it is, if we dishonored our parents, we haven't given them a good name. If we've hated somebody without cause, we're a murderer. If we've coveted, if we've wanted something to someone that doesn't belong to us, we wanted something that doesn't belong to us, that's coveting. And, you know, by our own admission, just by those few commandments, we're liars and thieves, we dishonor our parents, and we covet, and for that matter, we don't put God first. We've taken his name in vain, even once of our lives, we're guilty. We'd be guilty on Judgment Day. There's no innocent, you can think all your mind, well, I've done more good things than bad, but you would be guilty on Judgment Day, and a guilty criminal must be punished. If anyone understands justice, they realize that God is just. He is the just judge in the universe, and justice will be served on that day. So if you're guilty, you would end up in a place called hell, where God has prepared for the devil and his angels. It's not prepared for humans. It's prepared for the devil and his angels. But we choose to reject God and his word, and God is just, and he has to punish lawbreakers. So what did God do for us so we would not spend eternity in hell? He sent his son, Jesus Christ. You've heard the verse. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He sent his son 2,000 years ago, born of a virgin, sinless, fully God, fully man, to take the punishment that we deserve on the cross. He went and got beat and nailed to a cross and took the punishment, the full wrath of God. Took it upon him so you could go free on Judgment Day. Picture yourself in a courtroom and you owe a $1 million fine and you're going to be sent to prison for life. And all of a sudden someone comes in the back of the courtroom and says, I love this person and I sold everything I have. I've given up everything to pay this fine. And he paid the fine and you were free to go. And the judge looked at you and says, you're free to go, not because of what you have done, because this person has stepped in and paid the fine for you. You would be grateful to that person. You would be very grateful to a person who would do that. That's a picture of what God did for you in Jesus Christ. He sent him down to take the punishment that you deserve, that you would get on Judgment Day. Basically, we messed up, and Jesus paid our fine in his life's blood. And God commands you to repent, turn from your sin, to put your full trust in Jesus Christ. And I pray that you do that. And what that leads into on Atheist Central, raycomfortfood.blogspot.com, is he talks about Zacharias, Ray does, and he gets a scripture about Zacharias, and he actually preaches the gospel, and I'll read it, and I'm going to read the first comment from an atheist. There's tons of other comments. There's 94 comments on this one blog post. And you can get on and read it, raycomfortfood.blogspot.com. So I'm going to read this quickly. It's like a couple paragraphs. And then what's so interesting is the atheist's response to that. And Ray Comfort puts a portion of scripture in it. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke by mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him of all days of our life. Zacharias prophesied of the future, and in the present tense. This is because when God says he will do something, it is done. The moment God promised to buy his people back from the grip of death, it was completed because God doesn't lie, ever. Now, think now of a man who has seriously violated civil law. He is guilty of multiple grisly murders and arrested and held without bail. He is no longer free to come and go as he pleases. He can't live within his own home, sleep in his own bed, or go for a meal with his friends. He is held captive by the law until time of his execution. Governments will spend millions of dollars to hold a criminal such as that until justice is done. In the same way, when you and I sin, we seriously transgress God's law, the Ten Commandments. We are told in Scripture that the law is perfect, holy, just, and good. It demands absolute moral perfection. And when its perfect precepts are transgressed, it demands and will get absolute retribution. Every time we sin, all we do is store up the law's wrath. And the day will come when God manifests his righteous indignation against all evil. The Bible calls that day the day of wrath of Almighty God. So each of us is kept in a large holding cell called earth till the time of our execution, when we will be recipients of capital punishment, then damned forever from that which is good. So shake off any notions you may have that God doesn't care about right and wrong, right or wrong. Shake off any pretense that he doesn't exist, then flee to the Savior. He will save you from your greatest enemy, death itself. Romans 7:6 says, "But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not the oldness of the letter." Let me read the first comment by an atheist named B. Pierce. Many Christians seem to think that atheists simply refuse to understand and need to be explained the gospel over and over. We get it, okay? We understand the gospel. The Bible simply claims things that we do not, that we know to be odds with reality. For instance, we evolved from animals. We are apes. If apes don't have souls and we come from animals, how could we possibly have souls? That changes everything now, doesn't it? Of course, the argument of evolved from animals is a separate issue from the actual first part that he said. He said, "We get it, okay? We understand the gospel." Well, let me make a plea to that atheist and tell you what my point is here. The fact that you understand the gospel is not the thing. It's the fact that you're getting the gospel every time. And how many times do you need to hear the gospel before you respond? Well, don't you think that God is wanting to get you the gospel as many times as possible? Why? Romans 1:18-21, so you're without excuse. So on Judgment Day, you won't say, "I did not hear the gospel." You'd be lying to God. You're lying to yourself when you say you understand the gospel, because, my friend, if you understand the gospel, you would respond to it. Someone can say they understand the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, and they can say, "Well, I understand it." No, you don't understand it. If you understood it, you would come to grips with it, and God would break your heart, turn it into a heart of flesh, and you would be saved. So I went on. Sorry, Melissa, I went on that. I actually read that a little bit ago, and I was just flabbergasted by that first comment. I was like, "Wow, an atheist actually thinks they get the gospel." And they don't realize that it's actually storing up more wrath for them to hear it and reject it.
Yeah, it's true.
I just kind of blew me away.
Well, you think about just a person, like everyday people. If you tell them something and they don't believe what you're saying, you get upset. Just a normal human being. Think how upset God must be, knowing everything and just having that gift that he did it himself for them, and them rejecting it, it'd be more terribly so, like, than even just a normal day person just getting mad at something that somebody won't believe. It's like the God of the universe did it himself and wrote it down in a book, and you guys, you won't accept it. You won't believe it. He would be terribly angry.
Yeah, I agree, and we get that. Anyone who's ever shared the gospel with someone, and they just don't see the light coming above their head, or nothing clicks, or they're emotionless. They just, and you're just kind of frustrated by that situation. and you're like, why don't this person get it? Well, the things are spiritually understood, and if God hasn't worked with their heart, if God hasn't been dealing with their heart, then they're not going to. And you've planted a seed. You planted the seed of the gospel, and someone else comes along and waters it. And that's
like that part of the Bible. I'm sorry. Like the part of the Bible when Jesus was at the, it's called the part with the women at the well, and Jesus is saying, like, if you knew who is giving you water, like, well, he's speaking more of like the spiritual sense, and like he's like giving living water, but he's like, if you knew who it was, like you would say, give me, like basically you're saying, you would be like, whoa, give it to me, man. He actually goes out and reveals that he is the one that they've been waiting for, the Messiah.
That's true. And people don't, even if it's right in front of them, even if the truth is in front of their face, they have a choice. They can either say, I don't really believe that, or I don't really want to study it. And sadly enough, with self-professing Christians, they don't want to study. They don't want to take the time and say, is this true or not? I don't think I have to defend. Well, the Bible tells us we need to defend our faith. We need to be ready in season and out of season to give the reason for the hope that lies within us. And I'm not talking about what, you know, we talked about last week, the friendship evangelism. I'm not talking about that, which I'm talking about spreading the biblical gospel, the law and the gospel. And speaking of that, I'm going to pop up a friend of mine's MySpace blog, and we'll read it in a bit, about that subject. He had a conversation with a girl online on the MySpace chat, and he got her permission to use this in a blog, and it is spurred a lot of conversations, you know, for the fact of spreading the gospel.
Could I read this one short thing first before you do that?
I'm not going to do that for, we've still got a long time.
Oh, okay. I was talking about the animals dying. I have that book, the Answers Book for Kids, Volume 4, by Ken Ham and Cindy Mallett, M-A-L-L-T-T. I found a part where it actually asked that question. It says, from Samantha L., age 10, Pennsylvania, USA. It says, this one says, why do animals die? We are the ones who sin. So why are they punished? They didn't do anything wrong. And the answer he uses starts out with Romans 8:22. It says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And then the answer says, it is so very sad when an animal dies, especially a favorite pet. And you are right. They don't sin because they have no souls. But the Bible says that all things will die on earth because of Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden. Let me explain. If the principal at your school said there would be no recess, it affects everyone at your school because he is the head of your school, right? Well, God made Adam the head over the earth. He gave Adam dominion or power and control over the earth. Since Adam was our first leader, everything he did affected everything on earth. We know that God told Adam if he disobeyed, he would surely die. So since Adam had to die because of sin, everything on earth would also have to die. And that includes all the animals. It wouldn't make sense to have sinful humans who would die when everything else around them remained perfect. When our dog died, I was sad, but it reminded me how terrible sin is, and because of sin, everything and everyone must die. At the same time, I was joyfully reminded that because of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, the people who believe in him will live forever and with him in heaven, even though their bodies may die here on earth. And it gives a scripture reference, Romans 8:20-22. I was saying that earlier about explaining people's, like, pets die and what, well, the stuff of why people die is mainly because of sin. And that pretty much said it too. It said about how, you know, how Adam first sinned, and then Jesus was, they call him the second Adam. He was the one that was dying on our behalf. But like it's like people, other, someone else said it isn't, because a lot of people like to say like unconditional love. It actually is conditional love, because God says for us to repent, to turn from sins and forsake them. That means like to not do them anymore, want to do them anymore, and then not want anything to do with them. And then putting our trust in Jesus, he said to trust him, that he, like explained here, that he died for sins, and that he will be the payment, because he's the just payment. He was a perfect sacrifice. He was sinless, and he was God himself. It was him dying in place for every man. But it's not like universalism. It isn't like that's it. Like, he tells us to repent and turn from our sins. Because if anybody knows about universalism, it just says, like, yeah, he died for all sins, but we don't have to do anything, basically, to get it. But God said it was conditional, like I said a while ago, about repenting and trusting in him, that he's like the perfect sacrifice, the Redeemer, that he did it all on the cross. So that's what I just explained. And that's from the book called The Answers Book for Kids, Volume 4. There's other ones, and there's also answer ones for adults too. So 22 Questions from Kids on Sin, Salvation, and Christian Life by Ken Ham. He's from Answers in Genesis Ministry, and it says with Cindy Mallett. I'm not sure who she is, but I guess she helped them put this together. And I think we should take a break, but since it's around Christmas time, and like it says, Christmas is a reminder of that Jesus came to earth to save people from their sins, and this is called Go Fish. It's about the cross, and I think this says it plainly and clearly. So please listen to this and think about what they're saying. It's about the cross by Go Fish.
About the manger where the baby laid. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not just about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. Oh, not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. About the presence underneath the tree.
Goldfish. You'll see more about them at goldfishguys.com. And you'll see Truth Be Told Radio, and see more about us at truthbetoldradio.com. And I opened up the chat room. I don't know if it was open before, but I opened it now in case somebody wants to talk in there, they can. And if you're listening on the podcast, well, you can't. But thank you for listening. And also, I think somebody wants to talk. I'm not totally sure. They had the little hand up that shows it on top. So I want to see who this is. Hello? Okay. I couldn't do it right. Hello?
Hey, Melissa.
Yeah?
Melissa, that was that's my friend Chris. He's listening in.
I know, but they put the little hand up, so that's why I was answering.
Well, the hand comes up anyway, I think.
No, you have to push number one. When you push number one, we're talking about, like, when you're on the phone system. When you're on the phone system and you want to talk, you press number one, and there's a little hand that comes up.
I'll text and see. I don't think he does. He said he was going to send me a text. He'll send me a text if he wants to come on, is what he said. So.
Okay. Well, I know that one that he was listening.
Cool. I had my phone on mute, and I was trying to talk. I was like, oh, whoa, what's going on? I had my own phone on mute. That's
because you're called in as the host right now.
I had my own phone, not the actual host thing, on mute, and I couldn't talk.
Oh.
I was like, why can't I talk? And it was because of that. Buddy, I tell you what, it runs like an oil machine in here on this show. We just, it's so organized, I just can't.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about, like we were talking about death and eternity. But I think next hour, I want to get into more like the what I had planned. One thing, it's about talking about lies, and I have a song from a show called Lie to Me. It's a cute little song, but it tells, like, how a lie is still a lie, no matter what color it is. They could call it white lie. And then I was going to talk about some things about the Catholic Church, and I got a little booklet that explains the differences between Protestant, Catholic, and being a true Christian. And I was going to talk about the Apologetics concert that I went to on Sunday, December 13th, 2009. It was at Moreno Valley Charter Baptist Church, and I had a good time about that. But I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. So did you want to read that post yet that you said from a blog, or you want to do that later?
We'll do that in a little bit. I haven't got it popped up yet. I was trying to download a song or a sermon excerpt. So, it doesn't matter. We can go through, and we've got some other things we can do. We can actually play, talk about the apologetics. You want to do that in the next hour, or you want to do that now, the end of this hour?
I want to do that next hour.
Okay. All right.
I can just play some things, like I have the little 1 minute things, like Word from the Word and AIG, and maybe Way the Master.
We can gab a little bit too. I mean, we got 12 minutes till the hour ends. Anybody who'd like to call in, by all means, call in and talk to 347-884-9505. We never did offer that. 347-884-9505. If you have any questions, comments, snarks, anything like that would help us with the show, or what we've been talking about death and we talked a little bit about atheism and things like that, and anything you agree with, disagree with, anything like that, just give us a call, 347-884-9505.
And there's a little button called, sorry, I was trying to say it like dirty, called Click the Top, that you could call from your computer, and you talk over your, if you have a headset, microphone, you could talk over that too. I think they have a little button that says that on the page. So, once again, the regular phone number is 347-884-9505. If you want to talk about, like, the latest thing we're talking about, one thing is one person died just recently, like they said, Brittany Murphy, they came out with it. So she died, she's 30, She was 32 and died of his cardiac arrest. Like, that's a heart attack. We don't know why exactly yet, but if you want to talk about it or just talk about death, eternity, that's what we're talking about right now. And if you're listening to when this is on a podcast, you just pass this around to people that maybe people will be interested in that, talking about that.
We've got a call. It's actually my friend.
Okay.
He just texted me.
Oh, he wants to talk now.
Now he wants to talk. Yeah, we're gonna talk about that a little bit. So it's fresh on our mind.
Yeah, no.
Let's bring him on. Chris, are you there?
Hello.
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, guys.
What's going on?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Thanks for being on the show. You're on.
I'm working there. The reason that you see me on there like that is if I have to call a customer to get directions to their delivery spot, and I have to push one, it automatically puts me in the queue. But I'm usually not on the phone. When you see that, more than likely I won't be on the phone for the next few minutes because I've just called them and found out how to get there.
Okay.
But I know earlier Guy was talking about how we speak the gospel to people and we think to ourselves, why aren't they getting it? You know, that goes through your head. I know that I seem to witness to some of these people that I'm around all the time over and over, and I can't figure out why they don't get it. And I think I've said this on the show before. Second Corinthians 4:4, guys, or the First Corinthians? Satan's blinded the minds of unbelievers so they can't see the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who's the image of God.
Are
you guys still there?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm listening.
Oh. but I always think of that scripture. I mean, we know that God's word is truth. And I guess, you know, we all get frustrated. At first, I was especially frustrated with witnessing to my loved ones, and I prayed for a deeper concern for the lost and the people I didn't know. God gave that to me, and I went crazy with it, and it just continues to be the same thing. Most of the people that I witnessed to just seem to not get it. And I can always go back to that verse and know that they're blind. And I can remember how blind I was. It didn't matter what was said. I was too much about myself and trying to figure things out for myself. And there's an interesting story in the Bible. A lot of people know about Jesus turning the fish and the bread into where it would feed thousands of people. Just before that, he had said to tell everyone to sit down and eat because the disciples came to him and they said, you know, these people need to be sent home so they can eat. Jesus said, just sit them down, we'll feed them. And it was Philip and another disciple that just thought that was an insane thing to say. Just how in the world, you know, they were like, we'll have to work for months to make enough money just to buy the food. How are we going to do this? And so basically they were trying to figure everything out for themselves. They were figuring things out on pencil and paper. What's it going to take for us to feed these people? Okay, we're going to have to work, we're going to have to get money. And bottom line was the truth was right there in front of their face. You know, Jesus said, sit these people down and we'll feed them. And I find myself a lot of times witnessing to people and doing the same thing. You know, I kind of think, you know, what am I going to do? What else can I do? What video can I show them? You know, what story can I tell them? And it's not like that. I mean, the Bible clearly states that, you know, they are blinded, and I was blinded once. I need to understand that the truth right in front of me. I need to plant the seed and I need to move on.
The Bible also says it happens twice, and I think they both do a similar thing even after it happened once. I think they still, do the same kind of thing the second time around. I think they're like, I think they ask, like, how are we going to feed them, like, basically this time. I think it happens twice. And
oh, yeah, they...
Also, okay, say.
Go ahead.
Oh, because I was just thinking, like, after it happens once, okay, like, maybe first time, but like the second time they should be like seeing it already. It's like it already happened once. Okay. And also, like you said, that that people are blind. That's what I think of when I first was the day that I was believed I was born again. Is that that's the way I describe it. I said the light finally went on. Like it went woo. It's like I understand it now. And it's like. I think my pastor was saying it today. He was saying that, because he was explaining about the Christmas story today, and he said, one thing he said is that, if I could say it the best way, he said basically that Jesus, God reveals himself through the Bible and like everyday things, and it's like he does it every day, like especially like I'm not saying for unbelievers, I'm saying for Christians even, like he shows himself throughout your life and you see his glory and he becomes real to you every day, like he just more and more. Oh, you said how, like, this part that it says that Mary pondered these things, like, he said it was equivalent of saying she treasured these things, like, that they said that the way Jesus was going to come and be the Savior and things, like, with her, like, as her chosen. And then, like, she treasured that, and there's things we see every day that we treasure, that we see how, it's like the way people ask, they're like, how do you know God's real? It's like, he's shown himself to me. It's like, it's funny to say too, it's like, I actually saw this movie called Avatar recently, and they're saying this thing, they're saying, I see you. There's a statement they say, and it's not like just, I see you right there. I see you. I understand you as a person. I understand who you are. And that's the way it feels, like we understand, we see him, like we're seeing him face to face when we read the Bible, when we see him in our lives, or we see other people, other Christians even, or even unbelievers, we see the way they're reacting and the way they're in the darkness and we're in the light, and we see that, and we remember, like you said, like the way we were like before, like we're all stumbling in the dark and we didn't realize it until afterwards how blind we were. And even like, you know, the Amazing Grace song, I once was blind, but now I see.
Right. I was just thinking of that same
yeah.
song. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed, and how that was just
that
a song. Yeah.
Off.
To me, it was just a song before, but it actually had meaning when I was saved. You know, I was like, everything was different. I saw Jesus in everything. It was wonderful.
Yeah, once you're saved, you really understand that song more. You're like, oh yeah, now I really get it. Like how wretched I was as a sinner, or even now, even as a Christian, being wretched because of our sin, it still stains us. I mean, but still, like God has forgiven it, but like just the sin we commit, like every day that we like are like, oh man, I did that again, stuff like that.
Right.
It's because like this body is dying and it's gonna be left behind. And I was even saying that to my sister, like, because there's this movie called like Avatar, and like supposed to be like their body, like it's a better body in a way and stuff like that. And then I was like, my avatar's in heaven. I'm gonna have a great body.
Yeah,
like, right. It's perfect and beautiful, and it's no more tears, no more crying. That's the best part. Like no more pain. No more suffering, groaning this body that's dying. That he gives us a new body in heaven. That's great to me.
Yeah, mine's. I think I'm agreement with Ray Cufford. I think mine's hanging on a hanger. I'm about 6'5". chiseled chest and all that stuff, and
like Fabio or something.
I don't know about that. No.
Can you remind us of your name? I forgot your name. Caller.
Chris. Chris. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You could call him Scoop.
Scoop.
Yeah.
That's all my MySpace is ScoobTacker@yahoo.com or at MySpace.com. Scoob like Scooby Doo.
Oh, can you say that one more time?
Yeah, it's Scoob Tackett, ScoobTackett, ScoobTackett.
Oh, Scooby Snacks, or Scooby Snap.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
whenever, if you're around him enough, he'll give you a Scooby Smack with the gospel.
Yeah.
That's funny, yeah.
Stay flat. Yeah.
My brother used to like Scooby-Doo because it says SD, and he used to live in San Diego. Yeah, that's funny.
That was one of my impressions I used to do, and I still do it. Just people still want me to do.
Why, gee whiz, Scooby Doo! I don't know what's going on, man.
Oh, that's Shaggy.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Chris, man, I really appreciate it. I know you're still working. I appreciate your calling. It means a lot, man, and you sharing that.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Yeah. Thanks a lot for having me on. I really enjoy listening to the show every Sunday, better than what I hear on the radio. on the regular radio here in town.
Yeah, me and you have shared a lot of texts about heresy and heretics and talking about unbiblical things and everything that we hear. But you know what? Believe it or not, Chris, I think it's good for us to hear that and recognize it and be able to, recognize it so we can tell other people that come across it. Like, there might be someone that sees you later on and says, hey, I know that you heard this so-and-so preacher that talks on homosexuality. He talks about it being, man, I really like that preacher. And you can actually say, whoa, let me talk to you about that guy. And
even that life's short, like we were saying today, man. Don't know when your last breath is going to be.
Yeah, don't know. Yeah. So get out there and share the gospel while you still can. Chris, I really appreciate your enthusiasm, man, and your zeal. I never thought that, Chris, in my whole life, and I told you this before, but when we were kids and even up to us having that long hiatus away from each other, you know, we didn't see each other for a while, and then you and I got family saved, and I never thought in the whole world that, number one, that God would give me so much passion for the lost, and number two, that you would be so passionate also, and that God would really get you into it. You see potential in people. Like now, I see potential with my brother. If he got family saved, he would be a dangerous servant. He would be a faithful servant to God, but a dangerous person for the devil. And that's what you've become. And I see that. See it every time we talk and hang out. Is that you've become a true enemy of Satan, and he does everything he can to get you. And matter of fact, I have a song. As soon as it downloads, I have a song for you from Apologetics that deals with standing your ground. So it's and I'll put it out to you, Chris.
I appreciate it. I mean, it means a lot to me. And I want to say one more thing, and I'm about to jump off here. I agree with you. I was looking back, I can remember one time when I started going to the church where I used to attend with you, and we were leaving, and you were bringing me through the law that day. I look back on that day, and I think of the stuff that must have been going through your head, you know, because of the stuff that I end up dealing with other people. And when I do see that potential, I know that it's just, I'm thankful that, you know, God did save me, because where I was at, and you know, the idolatry I was into, nobody would ever expected something like that to happen and change my mind. But not only am I thankful for that, It's one thing to see, like, other people get saved. I mean, like, truly, soundly saved, because it seems like the world's full of these self-proclaiming Christians. But it's definitely a God thing that we were friends like we were when we were younger. We're apart for so long, and God's got us back together for that reason. We're there to strengthen each other, and I thank Him for that and give Him all the praise.
That's awesome. Man, God bless you. Thank you for your faithfulness, and go back out there and keep making a difference, and stay on your ground wherever you're at, man.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, he's on mute now. Put him on mute. I'll make sure I wouldn't put myself on mute or you on mute, I was thinking.
Yeah, I guess
that would be good.
Take a break now, because it's next hour. So,
yeah.
I do one called, it's called Word from the Word, and the word is what you feel about this Bible.
I once watched a dad climb a set of stairs while holding the hand of his 3-year-old son. The dad moved right along while the son touched about every other stair. Climbing the stairs was no problem for the little guy as long as he was holding on to his dad. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. Jesus invites us to be joined to Him, to share in who He is. Now that's a good deal. In Matthew 11:28-30, He says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now did you notice that twice He used the word yoke? Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy. The word yoke is a word that literally means to be hooked together. It is used of the device that binds two oxen together, and it is used of the bar that connects the two sides of a scale or balance. This noun comes from a verb that means to join or connect. It's a coupling that binds two things together. Well, Jesus uses that word to describe our relationship to Him. He says, "Come and be yoked to me. We'll put a coupling between us and bind our lives together. That way, I can labor with you and help you pull your heavy burden." Wow! He is offering to harness up with you, to put His neck in the same yoke in order to pull your burden with you as you labor. Now that's amazing. In fact, it's incredible. Well, when you are yoked to Jesus so that He is your Savior and Lord, you can commit your burden to Him and let Him do the work. You're still in the harness too, remember, so the burden is still yours. But it becomes a whole lot easier. You simply commit it to Him and go along for the ride. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Hey, why are you pulling so hard? Give it to Jesus and He'll make it a whole lot easier.
A Word from the Word is a ministry of Sola Scriptura in Orlando, Florida. If you missed any part of this week's series or would like to hear it again, go to our website at awordfromtheword.org, where you will find this two-minute program and full-length messages by Dan Hayden.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Unity at the expense of truth?
Answers with Ken Ham, author of the shocking new book, Already Gone.
Have you noticed that so many churches are willing to compromise over truth when it might mean a split in the church? You know, such was the case when a bishop commented on the controversy over his denomination's first homosexual bishop. You know what he said? Quote, "If you must make a choice between heresy and schism, in other words, a split, always choose heresy," end of quote. In other words, just overlook what the Bible teaches about homosexual behavior and avoid a split in the church. Better to have unity, even at the expense of truth, they say, than to divide the church. You know, sadly, this kind of advice is standard fare in many churches. One of the hardest and most divisive issues for the church today is the age of the earth. It creates division among Christians because many have tried adding millions of years and evolutionary thinking into the Bible. Because we insist on the literal truth of Genesis, many call us divisive. But the truth is divisive. You know, Christians should strive for unity, but not at the expense of truth.
Indeed, many Christians try to compromise with Darwinian ideas, and they end up undermining the Bible's authority. That's one of the themes in a new DVD by Ken Ham, and today's one of the last days to order this excellent DVD. Call us toll-free at 1-888-89-ANSWERS and make a gift of any size. That's 888-89-ANSWERS.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio, and this is Luke Tanchola. I'm your host, and my co-host is Guy Reynolds. And this hour that we talked about lies, the Catholic Church, and also my experience at the apologetics concert I went to on December 13th. It was at Calvary Baptist, Moreno Valley. They had it about 6 to 8, probably close to there, and had a good time there too. Let's see if I got that. Let's see if I got one of these songs that I want to play up. Yeah. Let's see. Doesn't look like it's up yet. Well, I guess we can talk about the apologists first. Do you want to?
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, what happened is they actually played one of the songs that you have on here. It's called Christmas Night. And,
yeah.
And I think I might have recorded that too because I have it on, might play it next week or something, like the version that they play by. And also one of the other songs they did that I got to go on stage for because I always just get recorded, but then they're asking for people to come up, and then, like, not that many people went up, only one person that, well, the guys went up first, but then, like, not that many people that were women, only like one person, so, like, I was like, I'm going to go up, since nobody going up, and, but then some other women came, too. One of the women were there was, I think her name was Claudia. She was blonde, and she's actually a school teacher. I thought she was younger, and she said she was watching them for, like, 16 years or something. Well, she said they've been around since about 17 years or something. And but she's seen them since 1998. I guess she's going to, you know, their there are concerts and things. And she was up there with me, and we sang the song called it's a parody of Beverly Hills. It's called Heavenly Hill.
I was actually going to I'll download that. It's called Heavenly Hill.
Yeah.
I sang with them up on stage also, and my kids have, so it's a fun song.
Yeah, that was fun. They have the part for the guys. The part for the guys is them singing Heavenly Hill, like, Heavenly Hill, that's where I want to be. And then the women sing the part John and Jimmy. It's because it's trying to reference James and John, so it just says their names as John and Jimmy. Because Jimmy is a nickname for James as well as Jim. And so we sing the part that goes, John and Jimmy. And I kind of more shouted it just to get it on the mic. I don't know if they heard it or not. And then and that was fun. Me and that girl named Claudia, we were up there. And she actually, at the end, I kind of wanted to, but I let her, didn't really go for it. Because at the end, the drummer, he throws out one of his drumsticks. And, it was coming my way, but, she was in front of me, and I just let her get it because I thought she, looks like more of a fan than I am. People would be like, I'm your number one fan. So, that. She was, all that into it. So, she got, I told her to have him sign it, but I think she forgot. I was like, you should have him sign it. I got the autograph from that guy, Jay. What happened afterwards is they let them talk to the people, they sell their CDs and sell things, stickers and things. And then there was this radio station called, the initials are CCM. It's Classic Christian Music, something like that. Classic Christian music. It's a mouthful to say because, it's like a bit of a tongue twister. So that's why it's easier to say CCM. And it was funny because I did, a station ID for that guy. I forgot his first name, but I'll probably be able to say that on another, maybe next week or so. But I did a station ID for him, and I was messing that up again like I was doing right now. I was messing up. This says CCM. Even the Paul J people, they did it too, and they're like, why didn't you tell us to say CCM? Because they saw it says CCM was on the thing, and that was funny. And they interviewed them. It was him and this other guy named, I think his name was Kenny, and I think he was probably the main guy because he had this radio sounding voice. And I got that videotape, so, not. It's a digital camera, I just say that. But what I'm going to do is, probably next week or week after that, I'm going to put these together from the video to audio. And I'm going to play them for you guys so you guys can hear the live stuff and that interview. And I'm going to play those. But right now I'm just talking about my experience. And also, what happened is, Guy Reynolds was looking at, they had, it was a replica of the car from Back to the Future called DeLorean. They said it's actually the one from Part 2, Back to the Future Part 2. And, Back to the Future is a movie about this guy, this kid goes back in the past. And, in part two, it was, more the same, but still, what happens is, there's this DeLorean. A DeLorean was a kind of a car back in the 80s, and it has these doors that actually lift up, so it kind of looks futuristic. So, the man in the movie, Dr. Brown, he uses a DeLorean as his time machine, and they had everything. I think it had the thing that's called a flux capacitor that's supposed to make it work, like the time machine work. Had this little thing that was from some kind of slicer or something that was back then. it was really cool to see. And I got to see it at night, like when the lights were up on it, like it was on at night. But I didn't really get, I got one picture, but it wasn't really good. Like they had to leave right after that. And but Guy, he knows where a website is that they have the pictures of it, so you can see for yourself. Are you there right now?
Yeah, yeah. It's well, it's Star. You just Google Star Cars, STARCARS, and they have cars from everything from the Dukes of Hazzard to Ghostbusters to Herbie the Love Bug, and this guy is involved. He's in a basically a car club that has Star. It's in Star Cars, and they call them replica cars. They're replicas of the actual ones. Some of the cars were used in movies and stuff, so, and people have redone them, have refurbished them and stuff. And the DeLorean, that's one of my favorite movies. So when I seen those pictures, I was excited. I was like, wow, because I was in Tennessee in Pigeon Forge, and I went to the Star. Well, I went to the Star Car Museum, and it had DeLorean in them, and I didn't know till I started leaving that you can get your picture in them, and I wanted my picture in the DeLorean, but I didn't get it. So anytime I chance I get my picture in the DeLorean. It's exciting. So
and your name too, Guy Reynolds, and his thing is that guy Jay Jackson. And he was like, oh, it sounds familiar. And I was like, yeah, he's like on the East Coast and I'm on the West Coast, and they thought that was funny. And I said, how you get to see him more because you're over there and like they're closer to the East Coast than the West Coast. They travel to get over here more. And, yeah, so I said your name. And also, it's funny because one of the, that guy that was talking to that was doing that radio show that, that was there, CCM, he, helped me do some station IDs, like for myself and your show and them saying the name of your show, Truth Decay, and my show, Truth Be Told Radio from.
Cool.
Because I remember you wanted to do that before. You wanted to get station IDs from them, but you forgot. So I had him do it, and it's better that he did it because he had professional equipment. He had, like, one of these things, a digital board that records it, and well, probably thousands of dollars that I don't have. So I asked him, and he was kind enough to do that. So if he's listening or ever listens, thank you for doing that. And he said he's going to send it to me, but he hasn't sent it yet. But I'm going to send him a reminder. I have his business card. And later when I find out his name again, I'll tell you guys that. And one other thing, too, also is there's this guy that I know from another radio station a long time ago. It was called Radio Oz, AHS. And he does voice station IDs and all kinds of commercials and stuff for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And, like, he said, and then that guy was like, you recognize this? And he played, like, his station ID that he did for them. I was like, that was funny. So in case you don't know who that is, his name's Bruce Barker, and he can be found on the Internet. Like, he's on MySpace, Facebook. He's been a friend of mine, not, like, really close, but we've spent, like, through, like, the Internet and stuff like that. I knew him from that radio station, too. Like, I met him in person. Because they used to have promotional things, like, where you get to go to see that thing. Like, a lot of radio stations do that. They'll have promotional events. Like, they'll go to a car show or something like that. Right? And so that was just fun to reminisce about that we both knew that man. And I hope he's a Christian. I'm not really totally sure. Like, I know he did work at a Christian radio station. But and he has a friend named Rhea Pardue that she is a Christian. And she also worked at that radio station, too, before. They also used to work at AKLA, that's here in L.A., L.A. area. I'm actually in Hammett, but still it's close enough. It's KKLA.com at 99.5 FM, and then also The Fish, 95.9 FM here. And you can see it on the Internet, too, if you look for your radio station. So I just thought that funny, like, the way they're, like, we're all connected like that, the way that is. It's funny. And
that
I met them there at that Apologetics concert. That was my first ever Apologetics concert, and it was really cool that I got to do all that stuff, that I got to videotape them. I got to be on stage, and I got to. And it was funny because someone was asking me, maybe the radio station guy, they're asking me, was I nervous? I was like, not that nervous, because, you know, some people, like maybe that girl, that blonde girl that I said, Claudia, she probably was starstruck by them. Me, I just like them, but I'm not starstruck by them. I'm just like,
yeah.
I'm just a bit of a fan. Like, I don't know. I just don't have that for them. I'm glad, though, because if I did, it'd be different. It would have been probably more nervous, and it was just more fun that I was up there doing that. And I think I like that better with people, like, if I'm not starstruck by them, because then you see them more as regular, just, well, as regular people. Because they are.
Well, really, they're extremely nice guys, and
well,
Jay,
yeah, yeah.
Jay allowed me to, I interviewed four of them, four out of the five that night, and the only ones I haven't got to interview, and I will next time I see him, is Keith Haney, not Keith Haney, I interviewed him, it's Bill Heuerbauer and Jimmy Tanner, the drummer, but Jay allowed me to interview him, and I'd like to, if I could, I want to play a song. I'll play Manger, and then I'll play the interview if I can with Jay Jackson from Apologetics, and we'll
yeah.
we'll talk
well,
a little
real
bit.
Quick,
or,
yeah, just real quick, I wanted to say sorry. I wanted to say is that one guy did his testimony, and I like that he did a testimony, but I'll have to play that for you probably some other time. I actually was really disappointed with this testimony because it didn't, like, really mention anything about law, grace, like, anything, like, that we know of that, like, it told a story, yeah, but to me it, like, kind of was lacking. But the only thing that he did do is what a lot of people do. They'll say, like, at the end, say a prayer and, like, not mention, like, sin and stuff in the prayer, but they didn't tell them what it means before that happened.
Yeah.
A lot
yeah,
of times it was mostly... To me, it was his story. I don't think he's trying to do it on purpose. I think he's just lacking in that part, is that he told his story, but not much of God's story, like what God did to me.
Yeah,
that
well,
was kind of the point.
I got that on
video, and I'll play it in an audio format, like if I get it translated into that MP3 form,
I mean,
and I'll play it for you so you guys can hear it.
I noticed that also. I mean, I noticed
yeah.
that also, and I had mentioned it's Tom Milnes is who
yeah,
gave the testimony. Now, Jay, yeah, I talked to him a little bit, but not about that. Now, I talked to Jay. Now, Jay usually
yeah.
does the gospel presentation. Jay, the lead
yeah,
singer, does, but he to save his voice, he turned it over to Tom. And Tom used to be a youth pastor. He's a youth pastor now.
Oh.
And to that credit, now I did give the band. A big question DVD from wretchedradio.com. I did give
yeah,
them, ask them if they could watch it on their bus, and I don't know if Tom has watched it, but I will mention that. And when we listened to that, I heard the same testimony when I went to see them in Tullsboro, Kentucky.
Yeah.
So I heard the same thing, and he did the prayer afterwards, which I didn't agree with. So,
to be fair, though, I missed about a half an hour of the show. Maybe 30 to 45 minutes, because the show was even longer than that. I missed that part. I mean, I'm kind of glad I missed it, because I wouldn't have had enough film or anything, I mean, enough thing to do the other half, but I have to be
yeah.
fair to them. I missed that part. Maybe the other guy actually did preach that part, and I hope I'm going to check and see if anybody did a video for that. I'll check and see if they have that on their website or something. It was at Moreno Valley Calvary Baptist Church in Moreno Valley, 6 p.m., December 13th, 2009. So if anybody listening that did record it, I'd like to see that first 30 to 45 minutes that I wasn't there. And I have to admit, I felt kind of guilty. They charged $10 to be there, and I came late, and I did not know you're supposed to pay $10, and I don't know, do you think I should send them the money? I think it went to the church. I'm not sure
yeah,
if it went to the church for
this. It probably would be good. I would, I definitely want you to, you can just do this, just buy the...
Yeah, I was going to ask them.
Well, buy the new CD and then send them $10 in addition to that, and tell Jay what's going on. He would appreciate it.
Well, I don't know if the... go to them.
Yeah, it goes to them, yes.
Yeah.
when I buy my tickets, I buy them online through their site, because it helps the band more to buy it from them. Well, she I think she got cut off there, Melissa did, but anyhow, we lost her just now. I just seen her on the switchboard, and all of a sudden, poof, she's gone. So she'll call. Obviously, she'll call back. But yeah, it does. Apologetics.com is the who we've been talking about. The band Apologetics, they're a Christian parody band. They take secular music, everything from AC/DC to ZZ Top, everything to Eminem to Elvis, everything. Just name it. They have done a parody of it, and we're going to play a parody right now since it's Christmas time. It's a parody from the song by Shaggy, Angel, and it's called Manger. Enjoy this from Apologetics on Truth Be Told Radio.
When you play music like this,
what? Wah, 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 wah. Girl, use my manger for your darling angel. Cause you're then my sheep, you are to be. Mary showed you my stable for my farming animals. Girl, you must spend the night.
One big party when the still run. A rose gonna have a bed for your small son.
Yeah.
It's all good that your little one's near, but can't find a room, crud. What a broken now one.
Yeah.
You can rush off to the place I mentioned. Spend the night, save the money for the rent, and
yeah,
keep them here through your entire vacation. You won't need reservations. My mom's pretty vacant.
Girl, use my manger for your darling baby. Overwear for want to be Mary. Showed you my stable. It's a charming place. And girl, you'll make friends with cows and sheep. Maybe.
Jar's clean and that's how you should be treated. Though you better get another one in Egypt.
Yeah.
Ruler of Bethlehem is conceited. Take it from me, kid, if he comes beaten. But he's not gonna come tonight, there's no problem. Now to talking to some wise men, Harry's so dumb.
Yeah.
But the free room that I have for you is ho-hum. He could search for so long, I still never see your son.
Girl, use my manger for your darling baby. Clothe them with white sheets or else you'll freeze. Mary showed you my stable. What are all these angels? Girl, I might end up on my knees, maybe.
Girl, there's probably gonna be a crowd, so let me see your child.
He must be sent from up above.
And he appears to be so tender and so nice and friendly.
I think he's giving me a hug.
Girl, there's probably gonna be a crowd, so let me see your child.
He must be sent from up above.
And he appears to be so tender and so like the shepherd.
I'm thinking heaven he has come.
Tonight it's one big party cause it's God's son. But you'd better watch your back when it's all done. It's all good that your little one's here, but can't be a fool, hon. What about the law, mom?
Yeah.
You can call on divine intervention, but shiny light gives you very much attention.
Yeah.
It could lead to my incarceration. I want to tell the nations, but I think I'll wait some.
Girl, use my manger for your darling baby. Over where both people would want to be. Mary, show you my stable. It's a charming place, and girl, you'll make friends with cows and sheep. Maybe, girl, use my manger for your darling baby. Clothe them with white sheets or else he'll freeze. Mary showed you my stable. What are all these angels? Girl, I might end up on my knees.
Welcome back, Truth Be Told Radio. Reynolds, and I believe Melissa might be back. Melissa, are you there?
Yeah, I was listening to the phone. I heard it.
Bad thing, you kept talking. Did you not keep talking?
I heard it. I heard it beeping, and I heard it go shh. That's when it does when it turns off. And I thought it was your phone. I was like, wait, it's my phone that turned off. I put it on charging now. Like, that's what I'm doing now. And I was like, oh no, I gotta call back. And well, what I was saying before, I don't know if you hear me. I was saying I don't know if the money that about the politics concert. I don't know if the money's supposed to go to apologetics or it was going to the church. I was gonna write them and see what they say. I don't know if it's going to apologetics or the church itself. Oh, that's what I was going to do, write them. Cause I do feel bad. I should have paid the money. I didn't have it like that night, though. That's why it was good that I didn't go in at the beginning, because I didn't have that money.
Yeah, they, like I said, they get, they don't have a record label. They do their own concerts. And
yeah.
Or the guitarist would do the concert scheduling. Now Jay Jackson does it all. And, he has a Bill Heuerbauer does the mixing and the stuff for the new albums, and they've got a new album out. And I actually talk about that with Jay Jackson. Let me play that interview real quick. It's very short. And,
wait. They also sang that song there, the one you just played. And Jay Jackson is the one who does that little impression of Shaggy,
Shaggy.
There.
Yeah. How does it sound like all the singers? Yeah, he does. And the new album, he sings songs from everybody from Rolling Stones to Rat.
Yeah.
And he sounds like the singer. So, I mean, I will play more from the new album.
He's a voice actor impressionist himself. And
he is.
I like the little Shaggy. Do your Shaggy. That is Shaggy. The Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Oh, the Scooby-Doo, yeah.
Yeah, do your Scooby-Doo Shaggy.
That's awesome stuff, man. Like, apologetics is cool, dude. Twinks.
We're gonna preach the gospel.
that's the thing. You can't go into the gospel like for instance with Scooby Doo and go repentance and trust. Yeah. You know, you can't do that. You can't do so my Scooby stinks, right? Is that what you're saying? No, I'm joking. But yeah, you can't. It's hard to spread the gospel as
that. Your Shaggy's
very spot on. Well, let's play the interview with Jay Jackson.
Here we go.
This is in October of 2009 this year, and this is a week before they were going to do their live album. And I interviewed four of the five members of. There's actually six members, and five were there that night. And we'll play my interview with Jay Jackson right now on Truth Be Told Radio.
This is Guy Reynolds with Apologetics Podcast and Truth Be Told Radio. I'm here with the man. Who is it?
Jay Jackson.
From Apologetics. And I talked to all the members of the band except Jay. Here we are. Jay, number one, the two Toms. How is that going, and how happy are you to have them on staff here?
Oh, it's great having him, Guy. You can keep it here. Tom Milnes joined us about a year ago this coming week, and Tom Tincha joined us about 11 months ago, and it's just been awesome. These guys are so talented. They both have been Christians for a long, long time, and they've been in other Christian bands, and they just fit in perfectly, and they complement each other so well.
Awesome. So, Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, the big night, Sunday night. You're doing the live DVD. That's what I heard in your email is that you're going to turn it into a DVD.
We're going to turn it into a CD, and we're also going to film it. We have four video cameras. We're going to film it, hopefully for a DVD also. But the most important thing is get a CD. Even though we just put out this concert tonight is the first concert that the new CD Recovery has been available. But we've been working on so many new songs that we're ready to record another one. And live CDs you can put out a little faster, so we're hoping to have it out in a couple months. So.
Awesome. So how's Bill Heuerbauer doing? I know he's not here. Is he doing okay?
Oh yeah, he's doing great. Yeah, he'll be there on Sunday to record us, and he was there last time we were out. He still comes when one of the toms or both of the toms can't make it, and since Bill can play a couple instruments at once, if it's a rare weekend when neither tom can make it, Bill can do both jobs, so he's great.
Awesome. So so new album, you played some of the songs that you're going to play live. You played a lot of those tonight. Is there any ones you didn't play tonight? You like maybe some, was there any new, in other words, I know you read a lot of scripture and things. Any new stuff you're getting from scripture that God's given you for any new stuff coming up? Also, your family. I'll jump to that real quick, too. How's your family doing?
Oh, family's doing great. My daughters are doing wonderful. My third daughter, Kelly, just turned 6 about a week ago, and my oldest daughter, Jana, is going to turn 13 in about a week and a half. And, yeah, they're doing great. We got 4 daughters, and that's going great. And as far as the Bible, still reading it every day, working my way through it once a year in the Book of Revelation. Again, so pretty soon we'll be finishing up, starting all over again. So it's still the only book I ever found. It gets better every time you read it. And, yeah, we have lots of great scripture verses to share on this new CD. We're excited to get it into the hands of people.
Awesome. Some encouragement, if you can, from all Apologetics fans. We are praying for you all as you're traveling and things like that. And really appreciate what you all do. Some encouragement for people who are getting into music, plus people that are praying for you and things like that. Some encouragement for all the Apologetics fans out there that are following you all.
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks, guys. Your prayers have blessed us. We've had it's been a great year. Played in 40 states. We're going to play in 40 states this year. We're scheduled to, Lord willing. And to be able to finally put out the recovery CD, and we got such tremendous support from the fans as far as when we had trouble with the bus and with the trailer. And God just has been blessing us. And, you know, the Bible says how pleasant it is when the brothers dwell together in unity. And, you know, I've been in this band for 17 years, and this is just the what you see on stage with guys goofing around and stuff. I mean, that's just, these guys really like each other. And I mean, it's an amazing thing. It's a wonderful, it's a great experience when you get together with your friends. You know, a lot of bands, it's not the situation. I mean, you know, some guys are friends or whatever. Everybody's friends. You go in on the bus and everybody's sitting together. They're having a great time. And be encouraged. Those of you praying for us, that's the best thing you can do for us. We do believe in the power of prayer through Jesus Christ. And it's amazing. God's really blessing us. I mean, we go through the same things everybody else does, same struggles. And you know, and everybody's hit with financial times, but God keeps us going every single month. And I can't believe, you know, I've been doing this full time now for almost 11 years, and that's it's. People always say, "What's your plans for the future?" I said, "I have no idea." You know, whatever. But by the grace of God, He's gotten us this far, and that's already 11 years longer than I thought I was going to do it full time. So,
favorite song to do on the new album?
Oh gosh, we haven't done any from the recovery CD yet, and we're looking forward to doing those. And as far as from this one that's coming up, I like doing them all. I'm just we're so excited to be able to, demonstrate also the twin guitars of the two toms. We call them TNT together, Tom and Tom, and they are dynamite. It's just a blast playing these songs and just getting some new ones in the lineup. I mean, fans still want to hear the old ones, and we still try to throw those in too, but we have so much new stuff, and that's exciting. And it's a very exciting time.
Last one, anything for Christmas? Anything coming up for Christmas?
Yeah, we're hoping to have the live CD done in time for Christmas. We'll see. Now, the recovery CD, a lot of fans haven't gotten that one yet, and that's in time for Christmas. And we're also hoping to have a new shirt, the 94 dates in 40 states shirt. So shows all the places we've been at. Finally do a tour shirt. We've done so many shirts over the years, we've never done one that showed all the dates on a tour. And since this is the first year we've done 40 states in a single year, we thought that'd be cool on a shirt. So.
Wow, awesome. Apologetics.com. Get on there, support the band. There's even a donate link on the very bottom part. Sign up for their newsletter. You'll be getting a newsletter from Jay Jackson himself and be keeping an update. We'll also keep you updated with Apologetics news and their music and stuff like that through the Apologetics podcast. Jay, thank you. It's been a true blessing. God bless you.
God bless you too, Guy, and go Steelers.
Yeah.
That was me, Austin. What day was that?
That was in October. It's towards the end of October. I believe it was October 21st, something like that. It was on a Sunday night, and they were playing in Tullsboro.
They have the album out now.
I'm sorry?
They have the album out now. Sorry.
Yeah, it's out. He actually, that's why I wanted to play it, because he was hoping to have that album out. I'm going to message him here in a little bit about the shirt, because I forgot he talked about the tour shirt, and I'm going to hold him to that and ask him about it. So, he remembers me from a while back going to the concerts. Me and my family, when we go, we wear Steelers stuff. All the time.
I saw Steelers.
That's how he remembers me, is I wear jerseys, me and my kids, and we always wear Steelers stuff.
Very clever.
Well, I'm a big Steelers fan, and I thought, well, I want something he's going to remember as fans,
yeah,
because we try to go to all the concerts we can if they're close. Matter of fact, I before I play this last song, before we get into the last segment here, that the song I was talking about from the new album, I want to go through a few of the places they're going to be in 2010, actually. They're taking a break right now, and apologetics.com is the site, like I said on the interview, APOLOGETIX, not C, APOLOGETIX.com. Check out the concerts. These are all new concerts that have been scheduled, so let me go through them. I think the second half of the year, again, they're going to go on the West Coast, so that's good news for you, Melissa.
Yeah, I saw this.
So they're going to be in January, the 22nd and 23rd. They're going to be in Virginia, Woodstock, Virginia, and Fredericksburg, Virginia. The next weekend after that, the 29th and the 30th of January, Seymour, Indiana, and Sikeston, Missouri. And, of course, they're going to be in Jay's wife is from the northern tip of Kentucky. The western tip of Kentucky. February 12th and 13th, they're going to be in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and Center, Alabama. And we'll do one more. The end of February, the 26th, they're going to be in Glendale, Arizona, actually, in February. They're going from Alabama all the way to Arizona the next weekend. Now, please note that these are all weekend shows. The reason being is because a lot of these guys have different jobs, and they go throughout the week and spend time with their family and everything, and they tour on the weekends, and they've been doing that for over 19 years. And without a record label, and God has been faithful to them, they've had an old van they used to travel around in, a little white van. Now God has blessed them with a tour bus, and like Jay said, they're doing pretty good because God's blessed them. So we'll have more tour dates from them, apologetics.com, and we play this last song we have. It's from their new album, The Boy. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, if God allows us, we'll talk more about it next week, too, because there's plenty
about. Yeah, this song is called The Boys Aren't Backing Down. It's actually a it's a parody from The Boys Are Back. Yeah, The Boys Are Back in Town. That's what the parody is from. And what it's about is the Book of Acts. When after Jesus died and rose again and sent the apostles out, everyone thought the apostles would lay down. They thought, well, this is the end of Jesus. This is the end of them talking about Jesus, and they were wrong.
Yeah.
But this song is from, if you listen to the words real carefully, this song is from the perspective of a doubter. It's perspective of a person back then who thought, well, the apostles are just going to back down. They're going to stop preaching the gospel, and that's why the song is called The Boys Aren't Backing Down. So I want to encourage people like my friend Chris. That's why I dedicated this song to Chris and other people like him who stand their ground. Don't back down even when someone's telling you to shut up and stop preaching the gospel. You keep going. You keep doing it.
Yeah.
So this song is called – go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Just want to get real quick in there. And there's a part in the Bible where it actually says that in the Bible. Like, there's a man who, I guess he's like a Pharisee or a Sadducee or something. He says, well, if this is really from God, it's gonna go no matter. This is a paraphrase. It's gonna go where it goes. But if it's just for man, it will not. It will cease to be, basically. So, and it was from God, obviously, and it's still going 2,000 years later.
Yep. That's a kind of an encouragement to not back down today. We didn't back down then, and we shouldn't be backing down now. This is from the new album, The Boys Aren't Backing Down.
Apologetics.
This is Apologetics on Truth Be Told Radio.
Yeah.
The Boys Aren't Backing Down.
Backing down. The boys are backing down.
The boys aren't backing down. That's something. I just want to remind people on here, the quality isn't good because I think this Blog Talk Radio was meant for talk shows, but it's a very loud song. And usually, like, when they do their songs, they're very loud. So we put it on, like, 9% of the whole thing. When you get the CD, it will be, like, clear and everything. You'll hear everything. So I just want to remind people, that's not the way it sounds on the CD. It sounds way better. But we just wanted to give you a sample of that here. I think it's a new song.
Yeah, title track of their new album.
Yeah. Well, since we're probably not going to be able to talk about Catholic Church a lot, we'll talk more about that next week. But I am going to play the song from Lie to Me, which is it's a fun song, but it's showing that even Hollywood knows what a lie is. And I'm going to play that for you. And we got a few minutes. Maybe we could talk about that afterwards about lying and sin and things. Well, here we go. This is, what I'll do first is I'll play this little Way the Master thing. It's about lying. And then I'll play that song. The song is called White Lies.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
You can usually tell an unfaithful person that is a liar by what comes out of his mouth. They'll often say, "I promise to have it to you by such and such a time." The key is the word promise. Liars usually have to promise because they know that their simple word isn't enough. Both Jesus and James address this. The Christian should never have to promise to do anything. If he simply says that he'll do it, he'll do it. His word is his bond.
Psalm 15 should be inscribed on the walls of character for every man and woman of God. We can't afford not to keep our word. If we let an unsaved person down by not doing what we said, it kills our testimony. We must be blameless before a godless world if we want to have any credibility in what we preach.
There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith. Well, you still have time.
Brought to you by wayofthemasterradio.com.
And here, that was played on last week in a show called Lie to Me. It's actually a show, a drama about people who, two people and one main character who they almost tell everybody like by what they do, because people give away little clues. They even mentioned that in the song. It's a show called Lie to Me, and people just sometimes they reveal by, like, because your mind is your mouth is saying one thing, but your mind is saying another, and your conscience sometimes gets pricked, and they look for those little clues. And this is just a fun song that they had from the episode about, the episode was about a man who, like, had a bomb on a, they thought it was on a tanker, like a little farm thing, but they played this song to the children because they're actually telling the children, I guess they would call it white lies, and because of things that were going on that they didn't want them to feel afraid, and they made this song, and this song pretty much explains what was going on in their head, and it's called White Lie, and it features Felicia Day. Here is White Lie on Truth Be Told Radio. Which is funny, playing a song about life.
I say I'm 10 when I'm 9 and a half. My uncle tells a joke and I try to laugh. In gym I fake a headache when I want to quit. I say I love the sweater that my grandma knit, but that's a white lie.
White lie.
It's the kind you want to tell, a white lie.
White lie.
So your mom won't have to yell, a white lie.
White lie.
Everybody does it because it feels all right and it's more polite. But a lie's still a lie even when it's white.
I pretend to be a white lie.
pretend I'm asleep when my dad walks in. I said I ate my chicken, but I just ate the skin. Your face can say you're lying when your mouth says you're not. Your pants are on fire, but they're not too hot. When it's a white lie,
white lie.
It's the kind you want to tell, a white lie.
White lie.
So your dad won't have to yell, a white lie.
White lie.
Everybody does it because it feels all right. And it's more polite, but a lie's still a lie. Even while it might be hard to say what's true, would you want a white lie told to you? But that's
white
a white lie.
White lie.
It's the kind you want to tell, a white lie.
White lie.
So your mom won't have to yell, a white lie.
White lie.
Everybody does it because it feels all right. And it's more polite, but a lie's still a lie.
Showing you that even Hollywood knows what a lie is.
Ah, it's crazy.
All new Monday at 9, 8 Central on Fox.
Sorry, they had a little added in about it being on Fox.
Oh, wow. And,
that
is crazy.
Yeah, they were lying to the children. They're telling them supposedly white lies. And it shows you on a thing, it says a lie's still a lie, even though it's white. And to be dark with purple spots is still a lie. And
I
even
can,
it says that, and it says, would you, like a white lie said to you?
You know, and the thing is, some people will say, well, yeah, I wouldn't mind having that said to me. That's wrong. They're lying when they say that. Come on. People can say, you know why people say that? And people say, yeah, I wouldn't mind having a lie told to me. Because they want to lie to somebody else. They want justification for it. That's why. Let me tell you something real quick, Melissa, about me. I was a big liar. I mean, I could tell lies like it's no tomorrow. Let me tell you something. I could sell food to Gandhi. And that's how I could sell.
Kind of liar too.
Yeah, I mean, I could lie with the best of them. I could convince everybody just about anything, and I could actually believe it myself. I used to be. That's what's called a habitual liar. A habitual liar believes his own lies, and
story
that was me.
Story
it was more than that. I mean, I would tell. I mean, I went to India. I went to Australia. I would tell people that, and I could make people believe it. And that's
believe your own lies?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, ma'am. That's called a habitual liar. And believe it or not, there's lots of people like that. that believe their own lies. So don't be surprised by it. I
yeah, I didn't know people actually believed them, though.
Yeah. If you tell them, let me tell you something. If you tell them, people can probably relate to this. If you tell them enough to people,
I guess,
you begin to believe them yourself. And it's almost hypnotic. I mean,
do lie out there.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, obviously one lie makes you a liar, like one murder makes you a murderer, or one rape makes you a rapist. So it doesn't matter how many lies are. If you've told, you know, 1,000 lies in your whole life or 100, you still told one, and you've broken God's law.
Yeah. And you need to repent, turn from your sins, and trust in Jesus, what he did. He sacrificed himself for everybody who lied, stealed, or whatever you did, whatever your sin is, he did that on the cross. But he tells us to turn from our sin, start trusting him for salvation alone, not ourselves, not our lives, not anything else, and what he did. And if you want to see more about that, you can even see there's needgod.com. There's a little test that says the good person test. You can see that.
Yeah, goodpersontest.org. We only got about 60 seconds left.
Yeah, we're almost done. I think we could play the last song this Christmas night because it's going to be Christmas next week.
Yeah, so everybody, Merry Christmas. We're going to my show Truth Decay will be coming back. I got to decide what day I'm going to do it. Most likely Saturday night. So please stay tuned to that. Please be in prayer for
for me as I change nights on my show. So God bless you all. Merry Christmas. We can still say Merry Christmas. Yeah. You can get us on podcast on you can go on iTunes, get us on podcast, also truthbetoldradio.com for more information. God bless you all. This is a Christmas night, and you all have a great Christmas night. Just remember
the parody of Kryptonite, and this is by Paul.
Remember the first Christmas night
by
Jesus Christ.
From the east, but still, Lord Jesus, I'm no king. You took this planet.